Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The devotees headed by Gadadhar Pandit are to be considered incarnations of the internal potency of the Lord. They are confidential devotees engaged in the service of the Lord. Purport. In connection with verses 16 and 17, Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains in his Anubhasya, there are specific symptoms by which the internal devotees and the unalloyed or pure devotees are to be known. All unalloyed devotees are Shakti Tattvas, or potencies of the Lord. Some of them are situated in conjugal love and others in filial affection, fraternity and servitude. Certainly all of them are devotees, but by making a comparative study, it is found that the devotees or potencies who are engaged in conjugal love are better situated than the others. Thus, devotees who are in a relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in conjugal love are considered to be the most confidential devotees of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Those who engage in the service of Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Lord Advaita Prabhu generally have relationships of parental love, fraternity, servitude and neutrality. When such devotees develop great attachment for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they too become situated within the intimate circle of devotees in conjugal love. This gradual development of devotional service is described by Sri Narottam Das Thakur as follows. Gauranga bolite habe pulaka sharira Hari hari bolite nayane bhabe nira Ar kabe nitai chand karuna karibe Samsara vasana mora kabe tuccha habe Vishaya chadiya kabe shuda habe mana Kabe hamaheraba shri vrindavana Rupa Raghunath Pade Hai Be Akuti Kabe Hama Bujaba Shri Yugala Piriti. When will there be eruptions on my body as soon as I chant the name of Lord Chaitanya? And when will there be incessant torrents of tears as soon as I chant the holy names Hare Krishna? When will Lord Nityananda be merciful toward me and free me from all desires for material enjoyment? When will my mind be completely freed from all contamination of desires for material pleasure? Only at that time will it be possible for me to understand Vrindavan. Only if I become attached to the instructions given by the six Goswamis, headed by Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami, will it be possible for me to understand the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna. By attachment to the devotional service of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one immediately comes to the ecstatic position. When he develops his love for Nityananda Prabhu, he is freed from all attachment to the material world, and at that time he becomes eligible to understand the Lord's pastimes in Vrindavan. In that condition, when one develops his love for the six Goswamis, he can understand the conjugal love between Radha and Krishna. These are the different stages of a pure devotee's promotion to conjugal love in the service of Radha and Krishna in an intimate relationship with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada ki. So we know the Panchatattva. Practically, before we do anything, we chant their holy names, especially before chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Because we know that these five personalities have specifically descended to help us in our spiritual progress. Actually, to facilitate our spiritual progress, we can say. We know the verse, Panchatattvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhakta Avataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam. So which of those five is Gadadhar Pandit? Bhakta Shakti, yes. So we have within this group, we have the Lord Himself, we have the incarnation of the Lord, we have the form of the Lord, we have the devotional energy, we have the pure devotee. So Sri Gadadhar Pandit is that devotional energy, that sustaining shakti that allows a devotee to do anything at all that is useful in connection with the Lord. Without that shakti, our actions will be empty and not empowered in any way. And Srivast Thakur always represents the pure devotee, the one who is a recipient of that devotional shakti and then who acts on it and actually engages in worship of the three Prabhus in that picture. The three Prabhus are Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda and Advaita Acharya. And so those are the Vishnu Tattvas, if you like. In one sense, Vishnu Tattva can be used to encompass Gadadhar also, in one sense. But in another sense, more specifically, you would describe Gadadhar Pandit as Shakti Tattva. Because Shakti is that energy that renders devotional service to the Prabhu, to the Lord, to Lord Sri Krishna, to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so we understand that when the Lord decided to descend here in this world, Radha and Krishna are there in the spiritual world. Originally, they are one tattva in one sense. For the sake of relishing pastimes, they have split themselves into Radha and Krishna, each embodying certain specific energies and qualities, distinct, so that that interaction leads to great pleasure, great exchange. Now once again, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, desiring to taste the mellows of something that Srimati Radharani has, decides to descend to this world and to experience that by combining himself with Radharani. But not quite in a full physical form sense, rather the sentiments and mood of Srimati Radharani, which the Lord is unable to taste in his role as Prabhu. As the master, one cannot directly experience what the servant experiences. One may have an idea, but there is something special. And especially when the Lord could see that, how is it that everyone is engaged in serving me with all their heart and their soul, everything that they have and then even more, and yet somehow or other they are engaged in ecstatic bliss. This was a great mystery to Lord Sri Krishna. Therefore he realized the only way to understand this is to actually take the position of Srimati Radharani. And therefore he makes his advent to this world. And then as we know, that when the Lord descends, his companions also come. Right? Sango pangastra parshadam yagne sankirtana prayar yajantihi sumedasaha. He comes with his weapons, confidential companions, associates. And so it is no different in the Lord's Leela as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And therefore Gadadhar Pandit also comes. And he's that devotional energy. That Srimati Radharani embodies. She's the embodiment of that full devotional energy. So as we know in different places, the identity of Gadadhar Pandit is described in a few different ways. One way, he's a manifestation of Lalita Shakti. Lalita Devi, the Shakti of Lalita Devi. That is one indication that's given to us. Another is that he's directly Srimati Radharani. And another is that when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu absorbs the full mood of Srimati Radharani, there is a sort of a shadow mood left. And what is left behind when Lord Chaitanya adopts, when Krishna absorbs as much of Radharani's sentiment as he's able to, what's left is Gadadhar Pandit, who is still of that Shakti nature. Now in his interactions and dealings, we see their connection was long-standing. They're both sons of Mishras. Their fathers are both called Mishra, surname, Jagannath Mishra, and Gadadhar's father is also Mishra. And they were very close together when they were young. They went to the same school together. But Lord Chaitanya was older than Gadadhar Pandit. And the two families were very close as well. Gadadhar Pandit's mother considered herself to be an assistant of Sachimata, considered herself to be a subordinate assistant to her. And so they were extremely close. Gadadhar Pandit was always very sincere, very, very, very devotional. And he embodied a mood of great servitude, almost in a spontaneous way as Lakshman did for Lord Ram. A mood of, this is just my position, natural servitude towards Lord Chaitanya. Now, of course, we know Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Lord, and the Supreme Lord tends to behave in unexpected ways. So, for a lot of the time, while they were growing up together, Gadadhar Pandit was tearing out his hair in frustration at Lord Chaitanya. Because Lord Chaitanya would always taunt him with different logical presentations and would demand that he engaged in debate on a certain logical nyaya, Sanskrit grammar point. Now Gadadhar Pandit was devotional to his very core, right from the beginning. And he had no interest in this whatsoever. So he would often walk off frustrated after these exchanges. And such is the nature of the Lord. He practically irritated, you can say, everyone around him in that special phase of his Leela. But then he would also say to Gadadhar Pandit that one day you just wait. I'll be a devotee. And at that time, persons like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma will come to see me and offer obeisances. And Gadadhar was thinking, yes, I hope it comes quickly. Because as a logician, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was quite something. We know this famous incident of the Digvijay Pandit who he defeated. And no one could really stand against him. He would start debates with his friends. And he would make a particular point and ask the friend to defeat him. Then if the friend managed, then he would say something more. And at the end of it, no one could ultimately defeat him. And then he would get angry and he would say, how come you couldn't defeat this point? And he would take the opposing side. Then he would defeat his original point. And so he was very much practicing this mood of argumentation, logic, grammar. And all the devotees were hoping that he would develop devotional tendencies and manifest them fully. And as of course, as we know, this really only happened after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he went to Gaya to perform Pindadan for his father. At that time, a relationship developed between Ishwarapuri and himself. That's a long story in itself, but eventually Mahaprabhu took initiation from Srila Ishwarapuri. And that was the trigger. That was the trigger for that full bhakti shakti to manifest visibly and strongly in his day-to-day dealings. So once upon a time there was a meeting soon after this incident at the house of Shuklambar Brahmachari. And Gadadhar Pandit hadn't been directly invited, but he went there anyway and hid inside one of the rooms in the house, it's described. And there Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was just explaining, where is Krishna, where is Krishna? I've lost my Krishna, I don't know where he is. And everyone around him was just weeping and crying because this is not the Lord Chaitanya that they know. This is not the Nimai that they knew from before, who would just argue on every pretext. When he heard this from inside the house, Gadadhar Pandit was sobbing away. And Lord Chaitanya heard some noise and he said, who is this? What is this noise? And he said, this is your Gadadhar Pandit inside. And so Lord Chaitanya went to see him. And they embraced. There were tears of ecstasy, and it was an amazing scene where the Lord visibly, for the first time, manifested this form to Gadadhar Pandit. And this is exactly what all the devotees have been waiting for. The chance to actually relish the potency of the Lord as the Shakti potency. The Prabhu potency is being suppressed now. And the Shakti potency is rising. And therefore the Shakti energy, Gadadhar Pandit, will now play an increasingly prominent feature. What is interesting is that although we understand this is a very intimate position that Gadadhar Pandit holds in connection with Lord Chaitanya, in acting in that Leela, when Lord Chaitanya descended, he didn't directly
express conjugal sentiments extensively. There is one occasion when Lord Chaitanya was wandering along the banks of the Ganga, and he wandered into a grove, a forest grove. And then Mukunda Datta was there and he was singing a beautiful song. And Gadadhar Pandit wandered around and started picking flowers from the flowers and the shrubs around. And he turned those flowers into a garland. And then he placed that garland over Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And while they were singing and the dancing going on, then at some point they sat down on a tree together. And Nityananda Prabhu came and sat down next to the Lord, on the Lord's left side. If you see the Shaktis, here we have Krishna, we have Srimati Radharani, the Shaktis on the left-hand side of the Lord. So Nityananda Prabhu sat on the right-hand side. And in this way you have Gadadhar, Lord Chaitanya, Nityananda Prabhu. And then Advaita Acharya was offering arti. And Srivast Thakur was offering worship, decorating them. And in this way, it was a very sweet, intimate Pancha Tattva celebration. This was the original Pancha Tattva celebration. And this is probably the only occasion when you see Gadadhar, at least described extensively, Gadadhar acting as that direct role as the consort of the Lord. On all other occasions, he acted very formally. Very formally and as a great scholar, and this is why he's known as Pandit. When Lord Chaitanya started to become increasingly ecstatic, his ecstasies, as we know, started to become more and more developed and more and more bewildering to people. And so on one occasion he was saying, "Where is Krishna? I've lost Krishna. Where is Krishna? Where is he?" And he said to Gadadhar, "Tell me, where is Krishna?" And Gadadhar Pandit said, "He's in your heart." Well, that didn't pacify the Lord. The Lord started, with his nails, where is the Lord? He started to claw at his chest, trying to open his chest. Gadadhar Pandit took his hands and stopped him and said, "Don't worry, Krishna will come. Krishna will come. He's nearby. He will just come." Now, Mother Sachi saw this incident. She was very happy to see this because she was just been waiting for someone to be able to control Lord Chaitanya when he went into these moods. And she was very much concerned for him. So she said to Gadadhar Prabhu, "Just stay with the Lord. Please be with him always. Protect him. I feel confident that when you're with him, I know that no harm will come to him." And therefore we know that when Lord Chaitanya moved to Puri, Gadadhar Pandit also moved there. And he took a vow of Kshetra Sannyas there in Puri. He made a little residence in a place, Jameshwar Dota, which has a little garden. And he would invite the Lord. Daily the Lord would go to his house and they would discuss Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Chaitanya would hear the Srimad Bhagavatam from Gadadhar Pandit, who was so expert in it. Gadadhar Pandit was a no-nonsense person. He wouldn't tolerate any pretense religion, any pretense expression of feelings towards the Lord when the internal substance wasn't there. Very strict, very sober, very solid. And therefore Lord Chaitanya heard from him with great, great attention. And he relished that. And of course many pastimes took place in that place. Once when they were on the beach, Lord Chaitanya asked Gadadhar Pandit to dig. He said, "Dig a hole here." Just indicated to a place. And a deity came out of that. That deity is, of course, the Tota Gopinath deity. And then that temple was created and that deity was installed. And the Lord gave Gadadhar Pandit the task of worshipping this deity. And he worshipped him to the max, if you like. He was one of the very few confidential companions of Lord Chaitanya. We know Swarup Damodar was secretary of the Lord, Gadadhar Pandit, and there are a number of others as well. They were very intimate, close associates of the Lord. And this deity is very interesting because he facilitated the worship of Gadadhar Pandit. And this deity is there. It's a very important place to visit, if we can. And in this deity, it is said that Lord Chaitanya entered when he disappeared from this world. There are some other accounts as well as to exactly how the how the Lord may have also disappeared. But he was there. And so that is a very special place that devotees like to visit when they go to Puri, the Tota Gopinath deity. On one occasion though, despite his vow of Kshetra Sannyas and worshipping the deity, Gadadhar Pandit heard that the Lord was going to go to Vrindavan. And he started to follow him. And the Lord said, "No, don't follow me. You're supposed to stay here. And what will people think if you follow me? You know, they'll think you've just given up your vow and you're coming with me." So Gadadhar Pandit said, "Don't worry, I won't be traveling with you. I'm going to do my own thing. You don't have to accept any shame or anything as a result of me. I'll do my own thing." And so Lord Chaitanya went one direction, Gadadhar Pandit went off in another direction, and they met in one place. And Gadadhar Pandit expressed great feelings of love and affection for the Lord. And the Lord was very, very happy with that, internally. But externally, it was a slightly different matter. Because externally he chastised Gadadhar Pandit. He said, "What is going on here? You're supposed to be worshipping Tota Gopina. That's your deity. You're supposed to be worshipping that deity. You've taken a vow of Kshetra Sannyas. These are things you're supposed to be doing. What will people think if you just abandon this worship? What good will it be for you even to abandon your vows in this manner?" Gadadhar Pandit said, "To hell with my Kshetra Sannyas." He said, "Wherever you are, this is Gopinath. You are the Gopinath. And wherever you are, that is the Kshetra. So myself being a Kshetra Sannyasi, I have to be in the Kshetra with the Supreme Lord." The Lord was quite strict. He was quite strict. And he just wandered off, walked off, not very happy at all. And then there's described, he got in a boat and they were going off. And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was there and Lord Chaitanya gave him an instruction. He said, "Send Gadadhar Pandit back, not meant to be here." And of course Gadadhar Pandit had fainted at this time when he saw the Lord had gone off. But somehow he was revived. And then in great sadness, it's described, both of them went back to Puri. Now that particular trip of Lord Chaitanya's went in an interesting direction, and he was trying to go to Vrindavan, but somehow he ended up at Ramakeli, and then gave instructions to Rupa Sanatan Goswami. Somehow he didn't quite make it to Vrindavan because of all the crowds that were following him on this particular occasion. And so therefore when he came back, he said one very interesting point. He said, "Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki, Shri Shri Gauranitaya ki, Shri Sitaram Lakshmi Hanuman ki." He said, "Actually my trip to Vrindavan wasn't successful on this occasion because I managed to upset Gadadhar Pandit." That was his realization. Of course we know the Lord's plan is something else in itself. It is it's the Lord's plan. Nothing happens without his mercy, his special potency. And this is Gadadhar Pandit, a very, very secret and confidential person. He had a number of disciples himself, and his own initiation is quite an interesting story, because there was a great devotee called Pundarik Vidyanidhi. And Pundarik Vidyanidhi was a very wealthy and very wealthy individual, but a great devotee. So in that sense, his devotion was covered, was not apparent to those who did not know him. So one day, Mukunda Datta was very close to Gadadhar Pandit, took him there to seek Pundarik Vidyanidhi. And when he got there, the scene somewhat disturbed Gadadhar Pandit. There was Pundarik Vidyanidhi lying on a very excellent bedstead. He was being fanned by servants. He was chewing betel nut, and it looked like quite a sense enjoyment scenario. And Gadadhar Pandit was somewhat concerned, you could say disturbed. Then Mukunda Datta started singing famous song from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Mahobakiyam Stanakalakutam. And this is the famous song about how merciful Krishna is, that even for this witch Putana who smeared poison on her breast, Krishna delivered her and gave her that supreme destination of being the nurse in Vrindavan. Well, when he heard this, when Pundarik Vidyanidhi heard this beautiful song, he completely transformed. He got up and went into a, you could say, a fit of ecstasy. That excellent furniture that was around him, the glass paraphernalia, he started rummaging around, smashing it all. He started singing and dancing in great happiness, calling out the Lord's holy name. Gadadhar Pandit was astounded. And he realized what a great service Mukunda Datta had done for him by revealing the nature of this person. This is quite instructive because often we may not understand the nature of a person. It is said it takes one to know one. And so we may think that on the basis of my own great ability to analyze the world and my own great prowess, I will always know who is correct and who is not correct, who is advanced, who is not advanced, who is a person to follow, who is a person to reject. And the simple fact is that unless you're on a platform from which you can have an appreciation of that platform, we will never fully be able to understand someone on a very exalted position. And therefore, the association of the devotees protects us from making offenses, because they will advise us, this is a very exalted devotee. He may not look like anything to you that you consider to be a great devotee right now, but his heritage, his past CV in devotional service is something you should take note of. And so every single person who has been in devotional service rendered great service to the Lord typically won't conduct themselves in a way that everyone sees that they are great. Rather, the devotee keeps all of their advancement completely secret. And they exhibit that quality, that skill, that potency as and when required for service. But they have no need or desire to express it. So typically, devotees, very advanced devotees, will go completely unnoticed. But when the Lord wishes to engage them, they will be engaged. And their potency will come out in a way that will be unbelievable. Can do amazing things. So the protection of the devotees, the sangha of the devotees, can help us see through our conditioning. And that conditioning has been accrued over lifetimes. And the idea is that over not too many more lifetimes, that conditioning should disappear. So therefore we should take help from whichever source from which it comes. All the senior devotees, all those general devotees who are our friends and companions, and all the junior devotees also. As Rupa Goswami explains, you can always rate, you can always assess yourself in these three ways. There's always someone senior to you. And never will there be a time when we should say that no one is senior to me. When that time comes, we have a problem. Something's missing. Lord Chaitanya constantly took advice from so many persons. He would consult his companions, ask Gadadhar Pandit, what should I do? Ask Swarup Damodar, what do you think? Ask Nityananda Prabhu, what shall I do? He asked Sachimata, how can I please you? And that's when she said, stay here in Puri so I can get news about you. The Lord considers him subservient to his devotees. Sadhavo hridayam mahiyam sadhunam hridayam tvaham madanyatena jananti naham tebhyo managapi. I live in the hearts of my devotees, and in my heart there is nothing but my devotees. So he doesn't have an existence that's separate from his devotees. It's a combined existence. And that is the full picture of the supreme flame and all its parts and parcels, the sparks. And that analogy that we use regularly. And so, in this incident with Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Gadadhar Pandit, when he realized he'd made a mistake, as part of this lila, he then said, okay, the way to rectify myself is that I should surrender to him. Tad vidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadikshantite jnanam jnaninastatva darshana. I should surrender to him. I should offer my obeisances and I should accept initiation from him. And so he did. He accepted initiation from him. And Pundarik Vidyanidhi, of course, was extremely happy, and he said, certainly I can. I I'm prepared to offer initiation. In fact, he said, the presence of this great soul is a great ornament for me. It's not that so much I think I'm giving him initiation myself. It's that his presence, his great mercy that he's showing in becoming a disciple is great. And this was the same sentiment held by Ishwarapuri. Ishwarapuri as a disciple of Madhavendrapuri, to have Lord Chaitanya as his disciple was an emblem, was an ornament, was like a jewel that's present in the family. In Prahlad Maharaj's dynasty, Prahlad Maharaj's presence purified that entire dynasty. The presence of a great devotee, whether it comes, you see, at the top of the chain or in a senior capacity or in a junior capacity, has the potency to purify that entire lineage. Make that vamsha successful. Make that line successful. And so Pundrik Vidyanidhi also initiated him again later at another point, second time. But he was a great source of advice and support for Gadadhar Pandit. Now Gadadhar Pandit, he appeared on the new moon, when there is no moon basically. Lord Chaitanya appeared on the Purnima, when the moon is fully there. And today's Amavasya, I hope. That's the day. And so it reveals that he's actually a very secret personality. It said he also passed away on the same Amavasya. He's a very secret personality. We cannot fully understand him. We shouldn't fully try to understand him either, because that devotional potency, that shakti that empowers all devotees, is his property, is the ultimate property of Srimati Radharani. And anything that we do, anything that we offer to the Lord, we have to understand is infused with that shakti. Otherwise it is an empty act. Unless that bhakti shakti flows through us in any attempt that we attempt to render service, that service may be service at best, but may not necessarily be devotional service. The way for the Lord to be happy is when his pleasure-giving potency is reunited with him. And if we declare to the Lord, "Dear Lord, I'm nothing great, I have no qualities myself, no real capability to please you," we attempt to please the Lord by attempting to please his servants. And if in our mind the consciousness is there that in whatever service we are asked to perform, however great it may be, that we consider ourselves a conduit for that devotional shakti that Gadadhar Pandit represents, then the circuit is complete. The electrical circuit analogy is very good. If you have a light bulb and a power station, and you have cables, we should consider ourselves to be like the cables. And the light bulb can be the result of our efforts. If anyone thinks, "I'm a mighty fine cable, I can do so much. Look how many strands I have. Look at my wattage rating. Look how good I am. Look at my quality of my insulation." What's going to happen? Nothing. Dead circuit. Light's not going to come on. Only if that cable is capable and has low resistance to the energy supplied by the Lord, if we don't impede the flow of that shakti, which is actually our task. Sometimes we think we are growing in spiritual life and becoming more and more competent. Actually, what's becoming the case is that we are becoming less and less resistant to the flow of the Lord's energy. That's an interesting way to look at it. That our nature is that we are natural servants of the Lord by a constitutional position. That's our natural position. And serving the Lord is actually our birthright, if you like. It's the essence of our being. But as a result of our subtle body, our anarthas, we've covered ourselves with layers and layers that keep us here in this material world. So as we start to chip away those, we become more and more transparent. Our resistance to the Lord's service decreases, and then the flow of the bhakti shakti takes place. And then that is the natural, harmonious position. So we can pray to Gadadhar Pandit today that just as you have with great expertise explained to Lord Chaitanya himself the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the detailed narrations of the Lord's glories in the Bhagavatam, demonstrated through your own behavior the actual mode of worship of the Lord, please allow us to receive some of that energy. And please help us to overcome those impediments that are actually stopping that flow or impeding it. Sri Gadadhar Pandit ki. Does anyone have any questions or would you like to add something? Yes, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu. Could you comment a little bit about the history? In Mayapur, we see that Bhaktivinoda Thakur had Gogadai. Then we see Bhaktisiddhanta installed just Mahaprabhu. And then Srila Prabhupada focused on Nitai Gaur. Mm. So in one sense, I think I understand, but it'd be good to for you to elaborate on that.
Yes. That's very interesting. This scene that I described is the basis for the Gaur Gadadhar worship. You know, the scene with Mahaprabhu, Lord Chaitanya, Gadadhar Pandit next to him being worshipped by the Shaktis, if you like. That is the position that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur relates himself in. That he's serving the ultimate divine couple who have manifested here as Lord Sri Krishna and Gadadhar Pandit. And yes, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati focused on the worship of Lord Chaitanya, but also Lord Nityananda. Because in his teachings, in his expressions, in his discussions, very much it is the case that without the worship of Lord Nityananda, one cannot get the worship of Krishna. In fact, Gadadhar Pandit would not even listen to anyone or tolerate anyone who didn't, if they did not offer respect to Lord Nityananda. That was his prerequisite. So as we know that the acharyas have progressively created a system whereby we can access that whole scene despite becoming increasingly disqualified as every generation proceeds. So for us, there's no hope of actually being able to really even approach Gadadhar Pandit unless we get the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. In one sense, Gadadhar Pandit is the guru who teaches. No, Lord Nityananda actually is the manifestation of that guru tattva. And we know the spiritual masters act in that capacity, being empowered by Lord Nityananda. So what is recommended for people in general may be a little different to the mode of worship of a very exalted individual who is relishing the leela of the Lord on a special platform. There will be an intensity, maybe even a spontaneity, maybe even a raganuga or a bhava flavor in the type of worship that a very advanced devotee does. But the general recommendation for devotees will always be on the sadhana platform, specifically on a Vedi sadhana platform. And so that requires an attachment and a formal, focused, systematic process of worship, which very much depends upon getting the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Some thoughts? Yes, Prabhuji.
Thank you, Baba. I'm just wondering about the name Gadadhar. If you have any understanding of where the name comes from, what it means, does it signify anything?
Gadadhar is a name of Krishna also, one who holds the Gada. I'm not sure. Does anyone have any more information on that? I've not come across anything. You know, just as we will have devotees who are called Krishna Das, Mukunda Haridas, you know, there'll be names of Krishna involved. So I've always seen it as Gadadhar Das, you know, and then Pandit would be an honorary title that's given to him, Gadadhar Pandit. Yeah, I don't really know too much more about that, but it's the name of Krishna, definitely, the holder of the Gada, the weapon. Any questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna. My question is, so how do we access this Shakti? You kind of explained it's through Nityananda Prabhu. Does it have a link to the Acharyas or, you know, emphasizing this mood of desperation where you really cry, cry for the Lord's mercy and also to receive love of God. So can you expand on that a little bit more, please?
Yes, that is a feature of it, the level to which we are desperate for it. As we know, utsahan, nischaya, dhairyat, Rupa Goswami explains eagerness, lolium. What is that greed that we have for the Lord's service? To what extent are we greedy? It's one level of approach that I like the Lord and I want to serve Him. And whenever I've got time, I'll serve Him. That's nice, it's nice. Nothing wrong with that at all. If the world did that, the world would be a better place. But there's another stage that's possible beyond that too, which is that my Lord is the Lord and Master. I desperately, intensely need to serve Him, without which my life will not be complete. And that conviction will only come when we're in the association of other devotees who have a similar conviction. When Srila Prabhupada came, that's the conviction he brought with him. Left Radha Damodar temple, comfortable situation for him, age 70, came to the West in a situation which is kind of diametrically opposite, devotionally speaking. He underwent such deep difficulties because he knew, in the mood of Prahlad Maharaj, that I wish that all these fools and rascals would surrender at the lotus feet of Lord, the Lord's lotus feet, because that's the only way that they will become happy. Tadvirya gayana mahamrita magna citta shochetato vimukhachetas indriyartha maya sukhaya bharam udvahato vimudhan. This is what Prahlad Maharaj says. All these poor fools are engaged in bharam, a great burden. Yes, a great ugra karma, a great heavy burden of trying to extract little juice from the material energy. But I know that the only way that they can be happy is if they take shelter at your lotus feet. So Prabhupada, having embodied this mood, brought with him first those two things, that intense conviction that Krishna, you are the only worthwhile pursuit in this world. That's quite different to a typical preacher or a saint or a sadhu who encourages everyone to serve Krishna. It's quite a different emphasis. It is an all-encompassing point of view, which again is very much expressed by Prahlad Maharaj when he says, Kaumaram acharet pragyo, right from the tender age of childhood, before you can do anything useful materially, one should be worshipping Krishna. It is an all-encompassing absorption in the power and service of the Lord. And so when that intensity is there, if by some chance that starts to manifest in our heart, it sometimes takes a little period of time. We meet enough devotees who we start to feel have a little of this quality in their lives. And we see that in the sacrifices they make. We develop that as well. I want to taste that. I want to taste whatever it is that this person is getting from Krishna. And that causes our greed for Krishna to develop. It naturally means that we start to see Krishna as more important than other considerations in our life. And that means we definitely follow the recommended process, which is our gurus, the Goswamis, Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is a guru in one sense. Lord Nityananda is a guru. But he specifically empowered his Goswamis to be the direct teachers for the rest of the world. He instructed Rupa Sanatan Goswamis to write books. And he instructed them to teach, to erect temples, to engage in deep sadhana. And they did that. Therefore, in the Gaudiya Vaishnava line, we have such an exalted lineage. Just on the altar you can see Jagannath Das Babaji, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Srila Prabhupada. So just the immediate five that we can access. And today we've just heard about some other great persons, Srila Ishwarapuri, Mukunda Datta, Pundarik Vidyanidhi. These are all great persons. And as we have access to their writings, their information, we're safe if we actually just take all of that from Srila Prabhupada's purports. It was just as in today's purport, he explains that in that condition, after one is freed from attachment to the material world, when one develops his love for the six Goswamis, he can understand the conjugal love between Radha and Krishna. This is the recommended process for us. If we develop love, this is interesting, a rare time when I've seen Prabhupada write love for the six Goswamis. Normally it's a case of serving the six Goswamis, following in their footsteps, carrying out their instructions. When we develop love for the six Goswamis, we can understand the conjugal love between Radha and Krishna. Now how rare and exalted is that conjugal love? When you go to places in Vrindavan, you'll see places where pastimes took place, like Prem Sarovar and others. And these are exalted places where great activities, devotional activities have taken place, which we cannot even actually fathom how we are qualified for them. It is something which is a matter of great privilege. So if Srila Prabhupada says that by understanding the love for the six Goswamis, we can access that love, we should very much do that. Right? Well, what are the sources that we will gain spiritual potency from? Devotees around us, and they will gain potency from the Goswamis. So we can do that. But greed is necessary. Lolyam. Any other questions? Okay, Vishal.
Hare Krishna, thank you for the very deep class. You were mentioning about how Lord Chaitanya disappeared in the deity of Tota Gopina, and there are also other incidents that have been recorded. Perhaps just wanted to know what the other ways Lord Chaitanya disappeared.
Would anyone like to tell us? It's a matter for research, really. It's a matter for research. We have a lot of information and a lot of details. In fact, what I've presented about Gadadhar Pandit is also a small fraction of all the different leelas and pastimes that he went through. So I think that will be a much bigger discussion if we enter into that. So I'd prefer to not go into that for now. And any other questions? When I went through this, I was thinking particularly about the principle that Gadadhar Pandit embodies, which is that devotional shakti, and how we can apply it in our lives. That's the item to hold on to. Yes, Vishwambar Prabhu?
It's not a question, I just wanted to thank you. I was listening to the class at home, and it really touched my heart, so I had to come here to say a few words. I know we shouldn't be glorifying a devotee in front of the deities, but Shruti Dharma Prabhu, once he called me in his room, I was asking him, who is this boy that... serving you. You were new at that time.
I'm still new.
And he said he's my assistant and he's very intelligent, he's a special boy, and you will see. And I wanted to thank you for giving a nice explanation on Gadadhar Pandit. I just wanted to offer a few words of encouragement. To you, carry on preaching, and you inspire me a lot. I just wanted to say it publicly. Hare Krishna.
Krishna. Thank you. Thank you. The words of the devotees have great encouragement power. Thank you.
So, sorry. My question is there a general significance in really delving deep into the scriptures and studying the literatures? I understand that not every devotee is particularly inclined to doing this. However, when we say the six Goswamis, what really comes to mind is through their literatures. So would it be a necessity that to access, you know, to develop love for the Goswamis, you need to go into studying? And yes. What do you get through your experience from, you know, really studying the scriptures?
Yes, it is indeed necessary to study the scriptures. Because Krishna says something, well, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it was a very interesting verse. Maya mukdha jivera nahi swata Krishna jnana. Jivera kripaya koilo Krishna veda purana. Maya mukdha jiva. The living entity who is covered with maya. Maya mukdha jivera nahi swata Krishna jnana. On his own, he cannot just understand knowledge about Krishna. A person in the deepest ignorance won't spontaneously wake up one morning and know all about Krishna. But then he says, Jivera Krupaya Koilo, in order to have mercy upon the Jivas, Krishna Veda Purana. Krishna has manifested the Vedas and the Puranas just to bestow his mercy upon people who are otherwise completely never going to get it. They'll never get it. Because this world is a place where we come here to enjoy. We come here to enjoy the material nature. We come here to exploit the material nature. And everyone is looking for a different flavor of satisfaction that comes from contact of the sense objects. So the scriptures are meant for that purpose. We also understand that from the Srimad Bhagavatam, that Krishne Swadhamu Pagate Dharma Jnana Dibisaha Kalo Nashta Drisham Esha Purana Arko Dhunoditaha. Now that Krishna has gone to his own abode, taking with him religiosity, knowledge, and everything that goes with the devotional mood, everyone is left in darkness. But for the age of Kali, something special has happened. This Purana has been revealed. And it is Arka, it is like the sun. The Srimad Bhagavatam is like the sun which is giving light to the people in this dark age of Kali. That is the purpose of this book. So, if we actually want to progress devotionally, as Prabhupada said many times, we have to come out of the darkness and into the light. In fact, if you next get a chance, read the strap line on the Back to Godhead magazine. It's a very nice line. Krishna, how does it go in? Yeah, in the original, the Sanskrit. Yeah. That's a different one. But it's nice. Maya Andhakar? No? What's the one? Yeah, that's a Puranic line. No, not this one. You can read it. Godhead is light, darkness is nescience. Where there is Godhead, there is no nescience. I always found that very powerful. Very powerful. It's just not possible. To dispel that darkness, you bring light. It goes. So if we actually want that, and we actually need that understanding... Imagine if we didn't have the person, the devotee, explaining to us about Krishna, taking knowledge from the Shastra, which is all about Krishna, how would we know Krishna is God? He's not going to come to us in a dream. He's not going to come to the, what's the population of the world, 6 billion, 7 billion, whatever it is, people in a dream. All of those persons have declared, I don't want you, God. They've declared that through their actions and behavior in previous lives. Krishna is not going to appear to them in a dream and say, here I am. He's going to keep himself completely hidden. And that's why he gives certain special jewels in this world. Even though we wanted to be separate from him, he sent us certain gifts. He manifested the Vedas and the Puranas. He manifested the devotees. He gave us the chance to worship him in a deity form. He gave us yajna. He gave us the chance to engage in his service. And really the instructional basis for all of that is found in Srila Prabhupada's books. For a devotee to have a mature, balanced growth in Krishna consciousness also requires us to know what Srila Prabhupada said in his books. And that does require that we should read, ultimately we need to read all of the books that Srila Prabhupada wrote. Just seeing the effort that Srila Prabhupada put in into writing those books should be enough for us to realize the value he placed on them. Because our philosophy, our practice is based on a solid foundation. It is not based on whimsical sentiment. There are many groups who will express different sentiments of love and appreciation and joy. And many groups will use these words even, if you meet them. Spirituality, it's about bliss and love and joy. But they miss the fundamental point. That bliss and love and joy is all contained in the reservoir of love that the Lord has. And to access that is the property, is something that we need to get permission from Srimati Radharani. How can you do that? By just living a clean lifestyle, by following a certain practice of diet. You have to know Krishna. He's the source. He's not impersonal. He's not like a neutral energy you can just access. He's a living. He's a real conscious individual. And therefore we need to know about him, just to understand just how different he is. So it is essential. And if one does not have a natural inclination to studying or reading, then we do so as a matter of duty. And there is a way to read which is devotional, as opposed to academic. That devotional reading will enliven any person who is not devotionally inclined. Many people may have bad memories from their school days or their college days or whatever. Reading, studying, and the teachers forcing it down our throats. Devotional reading is completely different. It is a situation of being with Srila Prabhupada's words conveying Krishna to us and being in the association of Krishna while we're reading. It is not about the volume of knowledge that goes in or any of that. It is about how we can just contact that energy, that potency that is contained within these books. And we have to appreciate how powerful they are. You know, someone touches a book when you distribute on the street, their progress has started. Just a touch of the book, it's the start of the progress. It's there. So if we just sit down, we say, I'm going to dedicate half an hour to reading Shastra today. We sit down with the book, we read it carefully. We read each word carefully that Srila Prabhupada wrote, the translation, the purport. We try to imbibe it. And at the end of the day, we say to Krishna, Krishna, some of this may be more than I can understand. And I don't even have much attraction for it. But please help me. I want to serve you. So that is the secret of studying and reading. And eventually a taste may come. A real taste may come. But it is vital for every devotee's growth. Thank you. All right, I think we should... Do you want to? No. Thank you. We should probably stop there. Shri Gadadhar Pandit ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.